In the ongoing protests against police violence and racism, we've heard many activists say they want to defund or reimagine police forces. Well, one aspect of that is the role that guns play in American law enforcement. Police shot and killed more than 1,000 people last year in the United States. Compare that to the United Kingdom, where police fatally shot just 3 people. Note that in the UK, most officers do not carry firearms. To talk more about the role of guns in policing, we're joined now by Tracy Mears, professor and founding director of the Justice Collaboratory at Yale Law School. Professor, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So there are countries where police officers don't always carry guns or don't carry guns at all. Certain officers, they include the UK, Ireland, Norway, Iceland, New Zealand. Just how prevalent are guns in law enforcement in the U.S. compared with other countries?
Well, basically every sworn police officer in a policing agency in the United States carries a gun. That's part of what it means to be a sworn police officer. So the norm here is for police officers to carry a gun rather than not to carry a gun, which is what you see in other countries.
And why is that, and has it always been the case?
No, it hasn't always been the case that police officers had a service revolver. If you look historically at the original police in urban areas, you know, the night watchman carried a stick, you know, mm-hmm. not a gun. So that was not historically true. Although I do think to the extent that, you know, policing finds some of its historical origins in more informal arrangements with municipalities. You know, many people point to slave patrols, for example, as part of the origin story of police. Folks carried the guns that they had. They weren't actually officially sworn agents of the state doing that kind of work.
How often do police use their guns, and do we know how often they shoot when they do draw their guns?
So one of the things that people should understand about policing is that much of the policy around policing as a profession has proceeded in a way that, you know, compared to other professions, is evidence free. We don't have standardized federal data collection. Certain agencies have adopted use of force policies locally, so those agencies are better situated to answer that specific question, how often. But you cannot answer that question with any kind of specificity with respect to every one of the agencies across the country. To the extent that we do have answers to that question, I would say the typical police officer doesn't fire his or her gun very often. But that is not to say that that we don't have many, many, many incidents of shootings that sometimes end in death of civilians, as we have become increasingly aware of over time.
Do you think that we arm too many police officers in America?
Yes.
Why?
We know that police are called upon to do many, many tasks for which there's no particular reason to believe that that officer would need to use deadly force. And yet they are trained to be prepared to use deadly force should, quote unquote, things go awry. And I understand the impulse, but it's kind of like saying that, you know, everyone should have to drive a four-wheel SUV because it might snow in a context in which most of the time it's not even cold, let alone snowing.
Obviously, we're having this conversation right now because of the nationwide protests sparked by the killing of George Floyd. Is the fact that police are armed part of the problem when it comes to police killings of Black people in particular in the U.S., do you think?
You know, I think one of the dynamics that's at issue here is the ways in which police are called to respond to incidents in race class subjugated communities, to use a term offered by my colleagues, Vesh Leweaver and Joe Saas. where violence is prevalent. You know, I think about places where I've worked, such as Chicago, Baltimore, and other places, you know, where police will be called in to deal with or quell serious violence. Police will say that, you know, they need to be armed to deal with gun violence in those communities. And I completely understand the need in some cases. It's also the case, however, that we know that there are many ways of quelling violence and building more sturdy structures within communities so that violence can be depressed. And the people who are doing that work are not themselves armed, which I think, you know, provides some evidence to say that sending in armed first responders to deal with gun violence is not the only way or even the best way to address violence in those communities.
I'm sure that if I was going to talk to somebody from law enforcement about this, one argument we would hear is that because so many Americans are armed, the police have to be armed. Otherwise, it's not a fair fight, no matter what the situation is. What do you say to that?
I would say that police are right to recognize that there are too many guns in this country. And the research that we have been able to undertake in a context of a very disfavorable landscape toward doing research about gun violence and the relationship between the availability of guns and gun violence definitely points to the prevalence of guns being a problem and, you know, has been relied upon, as you suggest, by police to justify them carrying guns, which is not the case in other countries. Right. So we were talking about the UK. There aren't a lot of guns there. You know, police are disarming folks with knives in the UK. That said, I would say that there are many, many state agencies interacting with people in the very same communities that see a great deal of violence in this country. I'm thinking of representatives from the Department of Children and Family Services, for example, or, you know, teachers, but certainly other representatives of state agencies in the same places where police say that they're concerned about, you know, the possibility of folks having guns. And none of those workers claims that they need to be armed. So again, I think the better way to for police to think about the necessity of arms is not that they're going places where people might have a gun, but instead, what is the kind of incident that you are going to? And is it the kind of incident where you should reasonably expect to have to use, you know, a gun to address it? And I think once we start asking those questions and taking them seriously, we will conclude that not every officer actually needs to be armed.
Is there a solution, or what would be the first thing you would suggest to get at least the number of guns down among police officers who you don't feel like need them on them all the time? Is there some way where only certain police would have guns or something like that? Is there a model you can think of?
Yeah, I think that it's some combination of specialization within the existing police force, that is, you know, having people trained to do certain tasks and then being confident that, you know, some folks who are trained to do certain tasks don't need to be armed with guns is one way to do it. You know, another way to do it would be to substitute some of those sworn police officers for civilians within the force. Similarly, again, trained to do certain things. You know, do we really need an armed first responder to address a person like Eric Garner selling loose cigarettes on a corner? Mm-hmm. It seems to me not that we don't. But this also brings up an important point, Jeremy, which is, again, police officers are authorized to carry out certain laws, and there is a proliferation of relatively low-level ordinances, offenses, and the like that police officers are authorized to carry out with force. And
I think once we start taking a look at it from that end, we can put a little bit of responsibility, maybe a lot of responsibility, on city councils and legislatures to be much more specific about what police are authorized to do when carrying out these kinds of offenses and ordinances. Many of them don't need to be enforced by forcible arrest. And I imagine that once we start cutting off the legal authorization for police to use forcible arrest, we will see an impact on police use of guns as well.
That is Tracy Mears, who's a professor and founding director of the Justice Collaboratory at Yale Law School. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.